Well, good morning and welcome to this, the very first moment of this morning where we get to gather together. And it's such a joy for you to be with us. My name is Ian and I'm going to be one of the hosts here today. I'm going to be joined with John and with Alan also, and Phil, who's behind the scenes making all of this work. It is it's a delight, isn't it, that we get to be able to do this as God's people, to be able to come together even though we're separated by distance, and just be able to celebrate all that God is doing in and through us. And so if you're here for the first time checking in online today, we are really delighted that you dropped by, and we hope that you will get a flavor of something of who we are as OCC this morning. Can I just begin by reading a couple of verses from Psalm 34 to you? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. Today, in our homes, we get the opportunity to sing praise and adoration of the one who gave his everything for us. And so I'm going to pray just, and then I'm going to hand over to Alan, who's going to lead us in some worship this morning. So Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your majesty and power and splendor that is radiated in and through the person of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that today we get to sing some songs of praise and adoration to you. And so, Lord, we are asking that your presence would be made known in the homes that we gather in today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Alan. Over to you.
Morning, everyone. Hope you've been enjoying the bank holiday sunny weather. We're going to worship God together now. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born, in the vapor of your breath the planets fall. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. See your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal far of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you've said. It all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. creation still obeys you, so will I, so will I. You're amazing. How amazing you are. So wonderful to me. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all your praises still falls shy, we'll sing again 100 billion times. We praise you, hallelujah. God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. Can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one a child you died to save. You gave your life to love them, so will I. Would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. Measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You never leave us, you never forsake us. Thank you. worship you, the Creator. With you all things are possible. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in our homes. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yes, you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Tears, you mend the broken heart, you're the answer to it all. Jesus, you wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart, you're the answer to it all. Jesus, wipe away all tears, mend the broken heart, you're the answer to it all, the answer to everything, Jesus. Wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart, the answer to it all, Jesus. Let's sing the truth out, 'cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. The truth casts out all fear, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That's who you are. Who you are. Waymaker.
I want to encourage you right now while we're singing, just to fully trust in the goodness of our God. And just while we were singing, I couldn't help but be reminded of Malachi 4, verse 2. It says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. You'll go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. Fascinating verse, spoken to people in the midst of people rejecting God and turning away, and the consequence of that decision. But for those who fear the name of the Lord, those who awe him, who trust him, who worship him, who live for him, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N. Sun, that life-giving source that gives life, will rise with healing in its wings. Same word that's used there as I've studied this passage. It's the same words that's used for the fringe of a garment. I was reminded of, I think it's Luke 8, is it, where the woman reaches out and holds onto Jesus in that crowd and touches the hem of his garment. And he says, who touched me? Because power's come out of me. And she healed, and her faith healed her. I just want to encourage you right now, if you need a healing touch, or somebody you know needs a healing touch from God right now, why don't you in your home just start to lift that prayer to God? Why don't you trust God, the healing power of God right now? I wonder even if now as we're sharing, there might be some of you that have got a picture that's going to encourage somebody else in another house. But I think the Spirit of God can bring us together in unity, and that he might put something, a scripture or a picture on someone's heart in their home that's for somebody else in another home. Maybe right now you just feel that God wants to touch a part of somebody's body that needs to be restored and put back as he made it, rather than the pain they're experiencing now. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe a scripture or a picture. Can I just encourage you right now? Let's just share it on the chat. Just take a step of faith, trust God in it. The worst that can happen is that we've got it wrong. And nobody dies, nobody gets hurt, but let's take a step and let's say, God, if this is you, then we just want to trust you and start to speak into people's lives. Let's let the Spirit of God move and link us up, even though we can't physically be together, as we sing that he is the way maker, miracle worker, that he can do it, that God can do it. I want to encourage you right now. And if God speaks and it replies to you, maybe you want to reply, or maybe you just want to pray into that circumstance or that healing that you need. But come on, let's just trust God to start speaking right now into our church, into our community. And if this is all new to you, maybe you're visiting online, maybe you've not been part of our church before, we just believe that God is intimately invested and in love with us to such a degree that he pours out his blessing, and he does it through the community. He might speak to one to build them and encourage them for the sake of another. That's how much God is in love with us, that he draws us together by his presence. So as we sing and lift up his praises, Spirit of God, will you fall? Will you give words of wisdom? Will you give words of knowledge? Will you speak prophecy into our church to build up and to encourage? Lord, will you bring healing for those right now? You don't need to wait for a word from you. If you need healing right now, just start praying for that. Maybe just put a hand on that part of your body that's hurting right now. Lift the name of that other person. We pray right now, in Jesus' name, that you bring healing into people's lives. Let's lift up his voice. Let's lift up our voice and praise his name. Thanks, Alan.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're moving. You never stop working. Jesus, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Who you are. You're the light of the world. You're the healer. You're always working. Your goodness overflows. The goodness of God, it covers us. His healing power surrounds us. We've been reborn with resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me.
Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Yes, your name. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Yes, your name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. It cannot be overcome. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. And still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every way, at your name.
Just to share, we've had a couple of people sharing pictures. Just aware that some people might be watching this later, not live, and so this may apply to you. It may apply to you right now as you're listening and watching. But I had one from Fiona: as a flower blooms, it starts to open from a tight bud. This is the picture she made. Beauty comes from deep within, the fragrance that comes from the life change of the flower. It bursts into all its beauty and its good. As the sun shines and the wind blows, it shines and shows its glory. I just want to encourage you that if that picture just resonates something within you, then just start to ask God right now. There's the inspiration. God, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? That picture just resonates with me, but what does it mean? And God, what does it mean, not just for me, but the way I live in response to what that picture means? It's the inspiration. What about the application? And Jess has shared one as well. Just as a child takes their parent's hand, I had a picture of God asking us to take his hand, to hold it tightly, walk with him, and to trust him in the places he will take us. I just was praying this morning, and I just found myself starting to pray. Lord, let where I put my feet, your will. Just let the confidence be that wherever I place that, I'm not fretting, I'm not stressing, that God, is this your will, is this not your will? But God, that I can trust you enough that where I place my feet would be your will. As we've been praying this week, lead us not into temptation, that we would trust God enough to not be bound by needing to hear a voice or get an impression, but just have trust in the fact that God loves us and will not lead us to where we place our feet. We hold tightly onto his hand. Trust him where we place our feet. So God, I pray for those that are feeling right now that they are maybe out of your will, or what is your will? What's going on? Lord, I pray that this picture of that child holding, they would hold tightly onto your hand, complete dependence with you, and trust that where they place their feet is the leading and guiding of you. Let us trust in your goodness. Your light shines in the darkness. Your word is a lamp to our feet. Just give space for the Spirit of God to speak right now into our lives. That may be difficult for you depending on what you've got going on in your house right now. Let's just let the peace of God. See Becky there sharing, he's putting broken hearts, a phrase broken hearts, into her head. There's a lot of people suffering with broken hearts right now, either due to relationships, friendships, betrayals, perhaps something that happened a long time ago. God, as I'm speaking, I just pray you'd restore the hearts of the sons to their fathers, children to their parents. And in doing so, Becky's saying you'll heal their heart. There will be new life and new hearts. Ezekiel 36. God, I just pray right now, Spirit, will you bring unity, pour out unity as we're united in this moment, although we're separated. Invite you, Holy Spirit, just as the music plays, we're not going to speak, we're not going to sing anything. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Maybe your kids are near you. Maybe you're on your own. Maybe you've got family. Just start to pray over those that are near you, those that you know. Just see those hearts that are broken, hearts that have been torn. May the love of Jesus surround you. Invite you, Spirit, just come. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, David shared Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Lord, just linking in with what we've just been speaking and praying into, Lord, I just pray in those, the wilderness of broken relationships, the wilderness of hurt and pain, you start to bring some restoration, a new path. You see where two paths have been going in opposite directions, they just start to come together. And a new path would be formed by the moving of God's Spirit. Be like a river in the wilderness. God, I thank you that you are about taking that which is broken and restoring it and making it whole. I want to encourage you and say that God does that. If, I don't know where your faith is at, but God can do that. God can do that in your life. Those that are hurting, those that are grieving, those that are in pain, those that need healing, God can do it. If we were together, I'd be like, church, do you believe it? God can do it. And he can do it. It's not just a case that he can do it, but he can do it for you. He can do it for you. So God, I just pray right now. Lord, I even sense now that there may be something that's like, God, you can do it, yeah. Dare to believe he can do it for you. Dare to believe. And we leave that prayer with God and we say, God, your will, your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Guys, I hope you're doing well. I hope this morning is blessing you, that God's Spirit is moving. We were praying beforehand that although we're in different places, that we would know that the Spirit of God is just falling in homes, in households around. And so I just pray God's presence with you, restoring you and renewing you and re-strengthening you for what he's calling us to be during these times, which we know are times like we've never experienced before. They are unlike any other season. And we know that this isn't just a UK problem. This is a global problem. And so one thing we've been asking you to do is to consider large, small, whatever you're able to, if you're able to give into an Elim-wide appeal, an Elim relief appeal that we're joining with as a church to be able to give to those that are hardest hit around the world. We're just going to play a quick video now of Ian, one of our pastors in our church, who's also the missions director, just speaking into this issue right now. So if we can just play that video.
So here we are in the UK in the depth of a corona crisis that is also affecting nations like the United States, China, Spain, France, Australia, New Zealand, developed countries that otherwise have known a very relatively easy life. But what about the nations of the world where the coronavirus is one thing among many? That actually the lockdown that's been experienced in some nations is meaning that large amounts of people are not able to work and therefore not able to feed their families, to pay their bills, to pay their rent. Because if they don't work, they don't eat. What is our response? Well, I think our response from Western churches has to be one of generosity, but not simply from Western churches. I think this is a call to Elam World to be generous at a time where it's easy to withdraw and retreat. You see, there's a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that really stand out. Well, there's many that stand out, but a couple that come to mind really to the forefront in this time. Firstly, Acts chapter 2, the establishing of the church, and they pooled resources so that any who had need, their needs were met. And then later on, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 of the Macedonian church, who despite being under affliction and hardship and trouble, they pleaded to be involved in the offering. They pleaded to be involved in a way to be able to meet the needs of others. And out of their lack, they gave. And so here we are, Elam UK, Elam World. What is it that we can give that would serve our brothers and sisters in other parts of the globe during this global crisis? We're not asking for huge donations, simply asking that we give what we can for the benefit of others and for the glory of God.
Church, if you're able to give, then please, the links are going to be coming up in the chat, and you can give to that. And I love that passage in Corinthians, isn't it, out of the overflow of their affliction they gave. Just what a privilege it is to be God's people in the midst of these moments. So if you're able to give, that's great. This week also online, every year we have an Elim Leaders Conference that's usually up in Harrogate, but obviously because of the current situation, that's all changed. And it means that it's become more available for all of you to engage if you'd like to. For completely free of charge, you can go onto Facebook and type in Elim Churches, Elim Pentecostal Church. I think it's going to be a live stream on Facebook on the 12th and the 13th of May. So this coming week, I think that's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere around there, where you can just engage online with the talks, various speakers that are going to be giving some insight and to help us in the area of leadership, but also just life as followers of Jesus. And I think there's going to be some live worship. So this week, if you're able to, please jump on there. We'll send some links through in our weekly mail out that people are getting. So please, if you're able to engage with that. And also, I just wanted to share how encouraging it is to see people coming online for our Connect groups, just hearing reports back. Had a few testimonies this week of just people that have engaged with the process that we're going through of spiritual practices, and just encouraged by those that initially in week one were just willing to offer up a habit change. And through that, we've just seen one story I was hearing, someone's given, God gave them a picture that they didn't really understand. So in that moment, they were just using the practices of silence and solitude and a Bible reading, the different things we've been doing. And so I'm just encouraged that God is using these moments and using these practices as we gather together to become more and more like him. That's the encouragement. And so please, if you're not part of one and you want to be, please just email us. If you are in them, can I just encourage you? Let's continue into this. We're spurring one another on the journey that we're a part of. And it's so encouraging to see what God's doing, even when we can't be together. And so on that, I'm going to invite Ian in right now. We're going to continue a conversation that was started last week with Mark Greenwood. It's a bit complicated because we've paused one conversation to bring in another conversation because we've been going through Psalm 23. And we got to the passage in Psalm 23 where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I just wanted us to pause on that. I'm not going to be as bold to say it was something from God, but I just felt, let's pause on that for a moment of what we're going through. And let's speak into hope. And the passage that came to mind was 1 Peter 3:15, being a people of hope that are ready to give an account of that hope at any moment. And Ian, I just wanted to bring you in. Any thoughts around that passage? I know it was spoken into last week a little bit about our inner world and our inner life and that hope being bubbling out. But there's a context to this passage, isn't there? There's something going on. Whenever we read scripture, there's stuff going on that's really helpful for us actually to understand, to be able to apply it into our life. So Ian.
Yeah, absolutely is, John. I think we do have to understand the context of which the letters are written or Jesus was speaking into, for instance, because it helps us to be able to bridge the gap between then and now. And so, yeah, this letter was written to a church, a group of people that were scattered and were undergoing great persecution and trial and hardship. And so it speaks. I think this is a letter that speaks into every context in various circumstances, and it certainly speaks to us today for sure. You could go into some of the history, maybe, John.
Well, yeah, it's that moment of crisis, isn't it, for the followers of Jesus that I think, you know, obviously I wasn't around at the time, but history tells us that when they think this was written, that that the Roman world was being occupied, was being governed by Emperor Nero, who anyone who knows anything about Emperor Nero has read anything. He used to, one of the stories is that he used to use Christians to light his garden. So I'll let you use your imaginations to what that meant. So this is a moment of fear for the people that are following Jesus and those that were choosing to follow Jesus in the midst of crisis. Peter's almost writing saying, guys, you've got to think differently. You've got to look differently to the world around you. It sounds a little bit like the moment we're in right now, of just this crisis moment. The people of God are called to be something different. And the hope that he speaks into is something of an evidence of what that difference looks like.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because, you know, the reality of it, John, is that we aren't shielded from the harsh stuff of life. Do you know, it's not like you become a Christian and you protect in this protective bubble waiting for Jesus to return. In fact, Jesus makes it really clear that if you're going to follow him, you're going to experience some stuff. He doesn't say if you experience it, it's when you experience this stuff. And so, you know, the context of the challenge of this the early believers is really important for us, because they Peter's instruction to them was to be different, to be distinct, you know, and it wasn't just something that was from an external sense of trying to be different. It was I think you referenced there something that would come from within. It was this call, wasn't it, to be a distinct people in the face of trial. And I guess the challenge is, how do we do that? How do we do that today? Is it simply by doing what we're doing online, you know, people tuning in and listening to us talk, or is it the human interaction in the context of community that people see something radically different about the way that we operate? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we've both had little experiences this week, haven't we, of moments where we've been surprised by what God's doing. Maybe I'll share mine and then you share yours. And we've been a friend of ours, they lost their father-in-law, stepfather-in-law to coronavirus. And so we were speaking to them this week, and it was fascinating to hear, because this person that we know, this lady that we know, her mum is a Christian, born again, spirit-filled Christian, and her father, her stepfather-in-law, also a Christian who's passed away. And we just asked, how's your mum doing? And she looked at us, and she knows where we're at. She knows that we're Christians and follow Jesus. And she said, well, you guys, you always seem to have an inner strength that just comes up in these moments. There's like a peace and a hope. And it just made me smile that someone who is not connected with church at all, we're not even trying, but there's something of a strength in the moments of crisis starts to reveal itself, like that flower that Fiona was giving us a picture of, that like the flower just, it comes out. It's evidence of what God does inside of us in those moments of crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. Because light doesn't need to try to be light, does it? It just is. And I think it's interesting. Yeah, so a similar this week, you know, conversation, in fact, just a few days ago, where I don't know whether you've been in those like that, those moments where it's just very ordinary, but it really takes you by, like, God moment in the midst of the very ordinary stuff of life. And conversations about worldview, about faith, you know, I'll be able to just explain from the beginning to the end and almost just like leave it there with the person having a conversation with, because it doesn't need to be like clinch the deal. It's letting the truth of God's word and life permeate through those interactions. And I think that's one of the things that I've come to appreciate, John, I suppose, in light of the current crisis that the world's in, is that we don't have pressure to be somewhere. So that we can live present in our communities and in our neighborhoods. And sure, the, you know, social distancing rules apply, but actually we've got this opportunity, haven't we, to be present and to be a flesh and blood reality of hope that lives in us with the people who maybe have no hope. And you know, we were reflecting before the service, weren't we, about the verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that sort of really stood out to you, that I think is really really crucial for us in this moment. Actually, I don't know whether you want to reflect on that.
Yeah, I was reading this week, just I was using something to help me with my prayer time, and the person that had written that put in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19, and it says, if in Christ we have hope only in this life, then we are a people to be most pitied. And I just thought, Paul, you're hitting the nail on the head, don't you? Inspired by the Spirit, writing these words, just like if all we've got to have hope in is what we're experiencing this life, then we are to be pitied above everybody else. But actually the hope that we hold on to goes way beyond. and is sure and steadfast. And, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. That Jesus is the only guide in life that will continue with us through those darkest times and not turn back. And I think for me, just knowing that the hope is not in what I'm seeing around me, but actually it goes beyond, that we're a resurrected people and we're living that resurrected life now. It's not that we've got to wait for it. We live it right now. And that starts to impact the world around us. I don't know if you want to jump in, but I got loads I could
yeah, bring in. I think it's really important, because this is it comes down to this sense of abiding in Jesus that overflows out into the very life that we live. So it's if we're in pursuit of Jesus, then we will radiate that and we'll live that kind of good life, because we're patterning our life after him. And then this sense of hope, then if it is just about this life, then what is that all about? But Peter later on in his letter actually refers to the new heaven and the new earth. So the hope that we have is set in this context of renewal of all things, you know, that we as God's people in the here and now get to participate with him in that journey, in light of all the stuff that we face. Yeah. In life, you know, whether it's the high moments of great celebration or the moments of trial and difficulty and challenge, why is it we can experience those things in such a way? Well, it absolutely has to go beyond the here and the now, because the promise of resurrection was that he's making all things new. And the joy of walking with Jesus is that we begin that process now, so that we increasingly, day by day, moment by moment, as we walk with him, become more and more like him. And it's that holy life that Peter writes about and sets the context for everything that we read in this letter. It's that the pursuit of Jesus, because he reigns supreme and he's got all things in the palm of his hands, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can take it from him, and that includes you and I. And I just think it's magnificent, really.
And it comes from just bizarrely, it doesn't come from our ability to be able to get it to happen. It just comes by being with Jesus and just spending time with him. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, abiding in the vine, the fruit, you know, all these verses that we hear. I find it fascinating, actually, that Peter talks previously to this passage. He quotes Psalm 34, where in that it talks about, be careful what you're speaking. It makes me think of, you know, that actually, of all the things in the moments of crisis, in the moments of being challenged, Paul's inspired to quote Psalm 34 that speaks into let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I'm like, what? Why would you quote that in the midst of all of this crisis? But actually, it's that when we the outward expression of when we've been with Jesus, it starts to change how we act. Yeah. And it's not that it's us doing it. It's the Spirit of God within us that is changing us, is transforming us. And there's a peace that comes that our neighbours start to notice that we didn't even realise we had. And that peace affects our hope. And hope brings joy, all because we've got faith and love for others. It's those things that you know, faith, hope, love, joy, peace, just all together working in and through us without us even realising it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so true. And the tongue is like the rudder, isn't it? It's so crucial. What we speak and what we say reveals what's in the heart. And so I think that's why there is a lot of emphasis placed upon what comes out, because it does reveal what's in. So maybe the challenge for us this week is what is coming out of our mouth, and how are we speaking? What are we speaking? Life? Are we speaking hope? Are we speaking purpose? I think that's what we should be known
for. Take those things to God. Take those responses to God as to what comes out, rather than getting frustrated with ourselves. Just saying, God, this is clearly something that is you wanted to work on, and do a work in me for it to impact those around us. Just to finish with, we've got two things we're going to finish this service with, but I just wanted to read this. It'll be known to many, I'm sure, but as I was reading this passage, I just couldn't help but be reminded of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And many of you will know it probably from singing songs in your school days, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. But I was reading this, and I read it in view of the hope that we have within us. I just wanted to read it over us as a prayer, and then we're going to show a video of some testimonies. But this is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me bring love. Where there's offense, let me bring pardon. Where there's discord, let me bring union. Where there's error, let me bring truth. Where there's doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It's in pardoning that one is pardoned. And it is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. That's the hope we have. That's the hope we've got in Christ. And it impacts how we live right now. And so I asked a few people in church this week, we're going to finish with this. Our service is going to conclude with this. And I pray that it'll encourage you and inspire you. Just as we see God working in the lives of the people that we do community with, that are part of our family here at OCC, sharing, I have hope because... So we're going to share that video right now. But guys, have a great week. We continue to pray over you, encourage one another, keep calling each other, connecting with each other, spurring one another on. We're in this together, and we've got a God who is bigger and greater and mightier that is there with us every step of the way, giving us the hope we need. So let's watch these together.
I have hope because I know Jesus himself came from a line of undesirables and imperfect people, and therefore I can have hope. We can all have hope. I see hope as a person, that of Jesus himself, therefore holding onto the person of eternity, which spells out hope, H-O-P-E, that of Jesus Christ. And I can hope to an internet connection when plugged into the right source, Jesus and his works, my hope, and I am diligent to keep out interferences, then I have a sure and steadfast line of communication and connectedness, a reliability. When I go offline, meaning I've plugged into a different source and my focus has turned inwards to self or the world, etc., a fading hope and a hopelessness, I get disruption and my connection appears to have dropped. It was Corrie ten Boom who said, if you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to God, you'll be at rest. My hope remains steadfast in Jesus. My hope fades when I look to the world or within. Hope in the person of Jesus is the answer. I am not enough equals Jesus is enough.
I have hope because I know that God keeps his promises. His word is full of stories and examples of how he kept his promises to his people. And I feel that my life is also a reflection of how he has kept his promises to me.
And as I was thinking about, excuse me, what I was going to say, a memory came to mind. It was a memory of something that happened in my life where I actually didn't have hope. And that situation was when, quite a long time ago, I'd said something to my sister and I'd hurt her quite badly. And it was my doing. I was 100% responsible for it. I asked the Lord's forgiveness and I know he forgave me. And I tried everything for my sister to forgive me. I tried to show I was sorry, I told her I was sorry. But to no avail. I suppose 2.5 years maybe had gone by, and whenever I thought about it, I was filled with this sadness and really wished things could be different. Then one day I was taking a dog for a walk. And as I was thinking about her, and again this sadness came. And I felt the Lord say to me, give that to me. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, but you don't take away people's free will. But at the same time, I was filled with, I could feel a hope coming in, because I thought, well, he's not going to say that to me if there's nothing that he can't do. And so, and I could feel the hope filling up in me. And with that hope, brought excitement, it brought expectation. The Lord had given me hope in a situation where I didn't think there could be any hope. Anyway, so cutting a long story short, I'm not sure the timing, but it was possibly 6 months or so later. Something happened in the family that was very, very big, very emotional situation had happened. And from that day, my sister started to speak to me. Not only did she speak to me, I can tell you now, I have a better relationship with her than before that even had happened. So my relationship's much better with her now than it ever has been.
I have hope because I'm finally taking the words of Jesus seriously. His words are wise, his words are down to earth, they're very, very practical. And they inspire hope, and they're inspiring hope in me, because they're no longer just something in a book, but something that has become quite real and quite vital.
I have hope because God sent Jesus into the world, and he died on the cross for my sins, and so that's made a way for me to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father again, because he's dealt with my sin. And so through walking with my Heavenly Father, then he guides me and corrects me and forgives me and protects me, and I find that full of hope because it's about him, not about me then.
I have hope because of some difficult situations that I've been through in life, and I know that people are going through difficult situations now, and Christians are being persecuted for their faith. And Romans 5 verse 2 says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
I have hope because Jesus died for me. I couldn't tell you why he died for me, apart from the fact that he loves me. I couldn't tell you why he bothered with somebody who was wrong, sinful, frightened, lonely, hopeless, and miserable. But he decided to do it, and he decided to send someone to tell me about it. And it's just such a joy to me. It's just such a gobsmacking, mind-melting joy to me that Jesus was sent by his Father from heaven to earth to die so that I could live with him in eternity. So that I could live with him long after this body packs in, long after these clogs are popped. I'm going to be in fellowship with my real Heavenly Father because of Jesus. I'm going to know eternal love and security and peace. Jesus thought I was worth dying for.
I have hope because I know God has a plan and purpose for my life, as has been shown up until now, and I know that he will give me the strength to get through each day as it comes.
I have hope because of the perfect love of Jesus as I've experienced since the 29th of March 1980, when he changed my life around from one of experiencing deep hatred, revenge, and probably a path to destruction. And he's been faithful to his promises ever since.
I have hope because God has taught me by loads of situations in my life that I can trust him whether the going is rough or smooth. And furthermore, in my going in and coming out, all along I've received great love from God. Of course, it wasn't always that way, but on the 6th of May 1986, at 11 in the morning, I was transformed by him after a simple prayer in a pastor's house. I'd never known what love and kindness really were, but he came knocking at my door. As predicted by a friend, there was deep opposition, but that day the water poured through my head and through my fingers and toes. The changed me was no longer a bramble-filled back garden, but a landscape, and God filled it with events like work opportunities, sensible relationships, marriage, children, and friends like I'd never known before. Not all was plain sailing though. For instance, the children had life-threatening illnesses, but God allowed these obstacles to mature me, to make me resilient, and above all, to encourage me to listen to him more. I found that the more I listened, the more my actions were fruitful and best in the long term. But I was always impressed by the overwhelming, overarching, unquenchable love that there was then and to this day. So I have hope that it always will be. God doesn't stop being wise for me ever, but he passes on that wisdom fully wrapped in love, which is why I always return to the excellent passage in 1 Corinthians 13, which we should always read when discussing our, well, his plans for us with him.
Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.